What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Tuesday, July 24th. And I'm getting my feed fed back to me from the RBN control room with a delay. Okay, it's gone now. All right, so we've got a lot of stuff to talk about today. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. And before we get into it, though, we have to issue a retraction here, because on yesterday's show, we had somebody who called on in who was breaking this story of this supposed GCHQ document that came on out indicating that British intelligence spied on Donald Trump at the specific request of Barack Obama. And it turns out to be a hoax. It's false news. Somebody's trying to poison the well. A lot of people caught this, and we do have to be vigilant, because there are people out there just trying to flood independent media with bogus stories so they can try and wreck our credibility and bring the audience back to the official Department of Propaganda here. But this one is a hoax. Now, that's not to say that the basic premise that Obama was asking for help on spying for Trump is incorrect. In fact, if you'll remember, on CNN's Anderson Cooper, James Clapper basically said this whole spy thing, this whole investigation goes all the way up to Obama. He said President Obama is responsible for that. So we'll keep an eye on that. I'm going to change the normal order of how I do my talking points here. And I'm going to start with the international news, because there's a lot going on here. Israel has shot down a Syrian fighter jet over the Golan Heights. And Israel is claiming that the jet appeared to be on an attack course into the Golan. And they shot it down with two Patriot missiles. We still don't know the fate of the flight crew. Syrian state media is saying the fighter jet was actually hit in Syrian airspace while conducting raids against Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant and other fighters, and basically portrays this as the Israeli enemy supporting the armed terrorist groups and targeting the warplanes, targeting them, which, following that little stunt with the white helmets the other day, a lot of people are realizing that Israel and the jihadists in Syria are actually a lot closer than previously known. So in other places in Syria, the Syrian Arab Army and its allies have kicked off an operation to defeat ISIS terrorists in southern Syria, east of the occupied Golan Heights. And they've liberated a couple of villages and some nearby hills. They're just making great progress. Now, the Syrian Arab Army retook a post of the United Nations Disengagement Observer Force at the village of Al-Rafid, thus the only areas de facto controlled by members of the Free Syria Army and Hayat Tahrir al-Sham east of the Golan Heights are Baghira, Birjam, Quneitra, Jubata, Al-Kashab. Now, as we reported yesterday, Russia came up with an idea to calm Israel down by saying that all Iranian forces would be kept 100 kilometers from the Golan border, and Israel rejected the plan. They're stamping their feet, and they're saying Iran must leave Syria completely, just will not tolerate their presence at all. Meanwhile, we're seeing here in the United States where our Secretary of Defense is out there saying, well, we're adamant that Russia must leave Syria. And it's so bizarre, because Iran and Russia are in Syria at the request of the Syrian government. The United States does not have permission to be there. The United States does not have a legal justification for being there. There's been no UN Security Council resolution authorizing military force in Syria. There's no declaration of war coming from the United States Congress as required by the Constitution. So it's arrogance and hubris. The U.S. is the invader. All right, we got some callers on the line already. Jeff in Idaho, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Oh, this is Jim from Chicago.
Okay. Hello, Jim. Well, I don't know what happened with Jeff in Idaho, but go ahead, Jim.
Okay. Every morning, Michael, I listen to the farm report. And let me tell you, the farmers in the Midwest are very, very angry regarding these tariffs or trades. They said they will probably lose a lot of money or even go bankrupt because it's going to hurt them, not only in the short term, but possibly in the long term, which means if they're going to be hurting, you know, the consumers like yourself, I, and others are going to be hurting also.
Well, yes and no, because the producers in here in the United States of America are saying because China is no longer available to them as a customer, they're building up surpluses of product. And surpluses mm-hmm. going into the supply chain to the supermarket should drive prices down. Now, the good news here is that Donald Trump has announced about $12 billion worth of subsidies for the farmers that are being hurt by the tariffs. But it isn't just the farmers. There was just a story now on Fox News about how stocks in the Whirlpool are going down because their sales are starting to drop because of the price increases associated with the tariffs. This is really going to slam the entire U.S. economy. This was not the time to start a tariff war, let alone a currency war.
Right. Now, you mentioned about Donald Trump. It's trying to get $12 billion for the farmers. Doesn't that have to be approved by the Congress?
It depends. It could come out of his discretionary fund from the executive branch. Of course, that might be most of the discretionary fund. But yes, technically, you're correct. Under the Constitution, the House of Representatives has to initiate all revenue bills, so they would have to vote for it. But at this point, I think you're going to find Congress is going to get on board with this one.
But how long will it take before the farmers get the money?
You know, the government can take a long time, but Trump made the announcement during a speech this morning, and I guess as soon as he gets back to Washington, D.C., he's going to meet with the House leadership and say, we got to get this thing going.
Yeah, really interesting. Again, you make a very good point. Why in the hell would he do this during this time of any presidency, especially knowing that he might only have 2 years left as being president?
Well, the timing issue for me is the fact that our economy is already very fragile.
He doesn't believe that.
Say again?
He does not believe that.
I think he's been told that it's not in good shape. I mean, he's still got his business interests and his, you know, they're being run by his family members as sort mm-hmm. of a semi-blind trust. But I'm sure from his kitchen cabinet, if you will, certainly the awareness of the totality of our nation's debt has to tell you this is a fragile economy. 40 million Americans still on food stamps. This is a fragile economy. You only get into tariff and currency wars when you're in a position of strength. And this was not the time to do it.
That's a very good point. Well, Michael, I'll let you go. You take care.
All right. Thanks an awful lot. We're going to do a shout out to our on-air affiliates who are just now joining our network. And we're going to go to Dustin in New Jersey. Aloha, Dustin. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Mike, I think just like the tax cuts, I think the farmers who are going to get the aid is Green Giant. I hate to say it, but you know what I mean, right?
Yeah, it could very well be that the subsidies are going to go to the large corporate farming concerns and the little guys are going to get left out again.
And they're going to be pushed out of the way so the big guys can come and grab their stuff up on pennies on the dollar. You know what, Mike? It's not going to help the prices being so low, you know, because the price of soybeans has dropped like 50%. I mean, that crushes.
Yep.
Like, I mean, that's a crushing blow, you know. I don't think it's going to help the regular normal farmer per se, you know. Like, I gave up on Trump. Like a while ago, I had hope for him, but he got more flip flops than John Kerry and Walmart combined.
Yep.
Mike,
got more flip flops than that shark I was telling you about yesterday.
Yeah, Mike, on Syria, did you see the video of these buildings on fire where they evacuated the white helmets? Obviously, they set fire to munitions that they couldn't use anymore to try to get rid of some of the evidence of arms that was in these buildings. You know,
yeah, this was the Quneitra crossing, and this was the crossing from Syria into Israel. And, yeah, the The fires were obviously deliberately set and were set apparently to try and further obscure just how much Israel had been supporting the anti-Assad factions.
And Saudi Arabia, and the United States, Canada, Britain, France. And Mike, by the way, the guy who created the company, created the white helmets, the British
yes.
guy, he's also connected to a lot of military contractors. I don't know if you knew that, but he's intricately involved.
But I'm not surprised.
Yeah, so, like I said, there was military advisors in there, militants, whole mishmash of other groups mixed into that. They pulled them out, you know. Like I said, why didn't they wait for Assad to pin medals on them since they're such great rescuers? That's all you hear on Bloomberg and Fox News and CNN. Dude, every single newspaper or magazine, if you go on YouTube, even that, the white helmets, you know, the saving lives, and it's just so much. And Netflix, you know, they got an Oscar, and Netflix, they all push the same propaganda. It blows your mind how George Clooney, you know? I mean, it blows your mind how intricate this crap is, right? I mean,
It really does. And, you know, we know that the white helmets are actually just al-Nusra with a white helmet on. We know that they staged some of these false flag chemical attacks to try and frame Assad. They've actually been caught on video helping al-Nusra murder people. These are not the good guys.
Isn't that funny? That's why they're called the white helmets, because white is associated with we're good, we're angels, right? They wouldn't be called the black helmets.
Of course.
So there's a lot in the name. You know, people don't realize, you know, that's the reason why it's called the white helmets. And like I said before, there was no emergency number for them to call, and like the Syrian people to call. Hey, white helmets, you know, hashtag white helmets, whatever. You know, there was no 311 or 113 number that's in Syria to call the emergency services because these weren't a real group. The real emergency number was 113 or 311 or something like that to call the real Syrian emergency group. These people were like a phantom group. You know, that tells you a lot.
They were a PR stunt. They were a PR front. It's public relations.
Shame.
It's propaganda. They're actors.
It's a shame, Mike, how the West can find money. And, Mike, remember I told you about the guy who shot up Toronto yesterday? See how they said he was mentally
yes.
ill? He's mentally ill, but then they released his name, and right there, that tells you everything. That tells you everything. He was a terrorist. They bring these people back home. It's insane. I mean, and there's a couple hundred going to Germany and Britain. So
I think the real issue in this case is the fact that this guy was, you know, being treated for depression. Was he on SSRIs? And apparently one of his, we're going to be talking about this a little bit later in the show, but apparently one of his very close friends that he's been with for years said it was like a completely different person, which is a very common SSRI reaction, where all of a sudden your personality just inverts. So I think that's what, I think the SSRIs are more of an issue here than Canada's immigration policy. Although there's no question that this open borders idea has brought a lot of additional crime and suffering into all these countries in Europe and the United States.
But there was a report in Syria when they captured a couple ISIS fighters that they had, like, drugs on them. So you think maybe they're getting drugged up to do what they're doing? Not all of them, but, not, you know, like some of them. Maybe they're getting doped up enough to be, you know, feeling good enough to blow themselves up, say, or do something that they wouldn't, you know, unless they're very religious. And that, you know.
That's a common feature of war. It's not talked about. I mean, if you go all the way back, you know, to Vietnam, a lot of those kids came back, you know, hooked on heroin. A lot of pilots and even soldiers would be doing meth to keep themselves alert and awake on long patrols. Methadrine was actually first created as a battlefield drug. To make the soldiers more alert and more aggressive.
I just think it's a joke how they can find $25 million for the white helmets, the UK, $75 million the U.S. finds for the white helmets, and they want to give $6,000 to these refugees coming into Europe, but yet they can't find no money for homeless people in tents downtown L.A. or anywhere else in the EU. You know, I think these people are all just garbage, Mike. I mean... Yeah, I mean, call me wrong, but I think they're just the garbage. I mean, they know they're doing wrong. They can't be this ideology.
No, they don't. Don't make that mistake. They don't know that they're doing wrong. They're convinced they serve a higher purpose. We call the principle the true believer. Somebody who believes they serve a higher purpose, and therefore everything that they do is perfectly justified. And we're going to be talking about that a little later in the show in a slightly different context. But that's what's going on. Those people who are on board with the one world government, New World Order, you know, they see that ideological goal of one planet, one population, one private central bank, and everything that they do to move toward that, good treatment for the refugees, ignoring your own civil population, it's all perfectly justified. The ends justify the means.
And I don't think there's any hope, Mike, because the world's all messed up now. I mean, you know, I'm 48. I don't know how you old are. You're 30, right?
I'm going to be 66 next month.
Have you ever seen it so bad? I mean, I'm 48.
Nope.
I've never seen anything like this. You know, like,
nope.
Yeah, so we're in certain uncertain time. All right, thanks, Mike.
All right, thanks an awful lot for the phone call. We're going to let you go, and they're very uncertain times, very troubling times. There's no question about that. And I think it's all coming apart. I think ultimately this push for a one-world government is doomed to fail, and in its wake, it's going to leave devastation across the globe. All right. Now then, yesterday we reported on how Israel tried out its first ever interception with the David's Sling missiles against two Syrian SS-21 missiles, and neither of them hit. And they're saying it's a technological reason. They'll be able to figure it out in the next 2 to 3 days. So not very good here. another story about the White Helmets evacuation. Apparently, Israel evacuated alleged Mossad-linked rebel commanders during this rescue of the White Helmets. And it stands to reason that probably anybody who is still in Syria who could be convinced to testify about links to certain foreign governments, whether Israel or the United States, is probably being gotten out of Syria right now. And only the poor fools who thought they were actually fighting a real jihad are being left behind to be slaughtered. Now, a lot of people are getting very upset about where the White Helmets are going. And over in Great Britain, there's a bit of a furor going over. And the attitude coming from the government seems to be they may be jihadists, but there are jihadists. And apparently they're going to be bringing 98 White Helmet members to Great Britain. And the rest are going to go to Canada and a couple of other places as well. But Britain is prepared to offer asylum to up to 500 White Helmet members or relatives of the group. So a lot of people are very unhappy with that. And I can imagine with all the other problems they have with the refugees coming on in, these jihadis with a known history of violence, not to mention deception, they're not going to be seen as good neighbors here. Okay, now over in Gaza, they're running out of supplies. Hospitals have had to temporarily close, and Gaza's sole power station was shut down because Israel's still not letting fuel through. Now, there is a ceasefire, and the flaming balloons and kites have stopped. But what Hamas asked for in return for that, you know, loosening up the flow of supplies into Gaza, Israel has not done that. And I'll be very honest, I am not surprised at all. Israel just does like Israel. Anyway, we got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no work, can't draw no pay.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And we're getting an update now about that Syrian Sukhoi jet that was shot down. And according to a military source in Damascus, the pilot was killed. He's identified as Colonel Umran Mare of Tartus. And again, Syria is insisting that the plane was targeted on the Syrian side. All right, getting on back to Gaza. The United Nations, UN OCHA, is saying that the essential services in Gaza are on the verge of collapsing. And supplies of emergency fuel provided by the UN for critical facilities are being depleted. And basically, the UN is calling on Israel to end restrictions preventing the importation of fuel and for donors to provide immediate funding for emergency fuel, which is now predicted will run out in early next month. In just a few weeks, Gaza will be totally, totally out of fuel. And at least one hospital has been forced to shut down temporarily. Services are being reduced at others. They've got ongoing blackouts about 20 hours a day. They only have electricity for 4 hours every day, which means whatever food they do have, those refrigerators are probably not keeping it fresh. This is inhuman treatment. All right. Apparently, Israeli forces shot and killed a 15-year-old Palestinian kid in the Dehisha refugee camp during a detention raid. They just basically showed up, arrested two Palestinians, and shot this 15-year-old. This makes 28 Palestinian children killed by Israel since the beginning of the year. Now, does anybody know how many Israeli children have been killed by Palestinians since the beginning of the year? No, let's not always see the same hands here. The number is zero. It's absolutely zero. There's a website called If Americans Knew, and it just lays out the statistics of what's really going on to show how completely one-sided all the death and destruction is here. Getting on over into Iran, this Twitter duel, if you will, is getting a little bit silly. And as you know, Trump tweeted out to Iran all in caps about bad things will happen to you. And Iran's foreign minister tweeted back all in caps, colorists unimpressed. This is headed in a bad direction. And David Hogg couldn't resist getting in on this. And he sort of re-edited Trump's original all-cap message to Iran and redirected it back to him. And this is what David Hogg tweeted. To U.S. President Trump, never ever threaten the United States again, or you will suffer consequences the like of which few throughout history have ever suffered before. We are no longer a country that will stand for your demented words of violence and death. Be cautious. Now, he's grabbing for attention, and my first instinct would have been to say, I'm not going to give him any. But I'm assuming that somebody is listening to this program who knows somebody in the Secret Service protective detail, and they might want to have a little talk with this guy. Because it's not nice to threaten the president's life. In fact, it's illegal. And again, like Dustin, I'm disappointed in Donald Trump, but he is the president. And we have got to work together to get civility back into our political discourse, or we're never going to solve any of these problems. We've got to start being polite and respectful to each other. We've got to be willing to hear what the other person says. And we just have a nice, logical, rational discussion. Now, unfortunately, one of the reasons the civility is going up in smoke is because one side is utterly devoid of any workable ideas here. So remember Ari Fleischer? He was press secretary under President George W. Bush, was out there rah-rahing for the Iraq war. And now he's back out there saying, yes, it's time to go in and do regime change on Iran. You know, an unstable Iran is good for peace. Let's go in and destabilize it. Well, the U.S. has destabilized Iran twice before. Once successfully in 1953, when they overthrew the democratically elected government of Mohammad Mossadegh and installed the Shah as dictator, emperor, king, whatever you want to call it. And then following the Iranian Revolution in 1979, when the Iranian people took their own country back, the U.S. tried it again in 2009. That one fell flat on its face because the Iranian people figured out what was going on, that there wasn't really an organic revolution among their own people. It was all being brought in by agent provocateurs from outside. So we're definitely seeing the laying of the propaganda groundwork to go into Iran. And we're not doing very well, or the U.S. government isn't doing very well with the wars it's already got right now. Anyway, we got to take another break for commercials. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
You got the money, honey. We got the bombs. We'll plant them anywhere you like and blow up in L1. Whip this world into a frenzy, killing babies, dads, and moms. If you got the money, honey, we got the bombs. If you got the money, well, we won't say we did. The towers.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And we're talking about the propaganda being cranked up against Iran. The Trump administration on Sunday described the Iranian government as a kleptocracy that has amassed tremendous wealth at the cost of its people, which actually sounds a lot like our own government. And Secretary of State Michael Pompeo is out there sort of wooing the Iranian-American community, and he gave them a speech supporting Iranian voices, describing the leadership in Tehran resembles the mafia more than a government. Again, he's projecting. And this event was held at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library in Simi Valley, and it looks like they're trying to build support among Iranians here in the United States to somehow provide support of some kind for regime change, maybe to send them back into Iran as agent provocateurs. But it's definitely on. And if you look how poorly we're doing on our current wars, we've clearly lost in Syria. We're losing in Afghanistan. We're mired in Libya. Iran may not be a major power like Russia and China, but is definitely much more capable than these other little tiny nations the U.S. has been whooping on all the time. Now, the Kremlin has acknowledged receiving the invitation for Russian President Putin to meet with President Trump in Washington at the end of the year. And it looks like that's going to move forward. Of course, everybody is saying, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. You're a traitor if you talk to Russia. You're a traitor if you make peace. Have you ever noticed that every single president, when they try and ease tensions with first the Soviet Union, then Russia, they're described as a traitor? Because they're a threat to the military-industrial complex and its giant vacuum cleaner hose jammed into your wallet. Now, Pepe Escobar wrote a really good article. Here's the real reason the U.S. must talk to Russia. And he basically starts out, the United States industrial military intelligence security complex, I think he's running out of hyphens there, basically profits from a compounded annual budget of roughly $1 trillion. That's what all this spookiness and spying and bombs and tanks and everything, that's what it's costing. $1 trillion. Now, the only justification for such huge spending is to maintain the illusion of a lethal external threat. When I was a kid, it was the Soviet Union. Today, it's Russia. And that's the reason they don't want Trump to even talk to Putin. If relations were to normalize, the money dries up. They might, heaven forbid, spend the money on schools and hospitals and better roads for American people. We can't let that happen. That would be un-American. But there are some reasons why the U.S. probably ought to be thinking about getting a little bit more relaxed around Russia. Command, control, communications, computers, intel, surveillance, and reconnaissance capabilities equal to or better than the United States. Russia has electronic warfare capabilities equal to or better than the United States. Remember the incident with the Donald Cook up in the Black Sea? They just shut that ship down. Russia's new weapon systems, for which the United States doesn't even have anything like them. Air defense systems, more than a match for current U.S. air power. Long-range subsonic, supersonic, and hypersonic cruise missiles that threaten the U.S. empire of bases and even the mainland. How did we get here? How did Russia get past us in all this technology when the U.S. spends so much on the military? Well, because as Major Smedley Butler said, it's a racket. It's just a big racket. The military is just rolling in dough, and they'll put out the weapons, and some of them work, and some of them don't really work all that well. Remember the story we had yesterday where the F-35, which is still not combat ready, is already being given a modernization program. More money, more spending, more gizmos, more gadgets here. So they're still out there saying Russian aggression, Russian aggression. There was a story on Fox early today. Poland wants more U.S. troops to counter Russian aggression. Actually, what Poland wants is more U.S. troops spending money in Poland because it helps the economy. That's why all these countries that have all these U.S. bases, they like having those bases there. Not because they're being protected from an enemy, because U.S. money is flowing into their economy through those military bases. And the bottom line here is, why would Russia or attack Europe? Europe, as it is worth way more for Russia, free and prosperous, than they would be if destroyed and theoretically subjugated. It doesn't make sense. Now, Russia has tested a new nuclear weapon that can strike anywhere on the planet. There's nothing out of its reach. This is the RS-28 Sarmat missile. This thing can hit both the North and South Poles, and it carries more nuclear warheads than any other missile on the planet. And apparently, it can deliver up to 24 of Russia's new avant-garde hypersonic gliders, each of which carries its own nuclear payload. These are the ones that can evade America's ballistic missile defense system because they're maneuverable. They zip around. They go up and down. They corkscrew. The entire U.S. ballistic missile defense system is based on a doctrine of a presumed predictable ballistic inbound path. And Russia just went right around that. And Putin is saying these weapons will be combat ready by 2020. Meanwhile, China is planning to launch a fleet of unmanned submarines powered by artificial intelligence that will be able to stay at sea for months without refueling, and if necessary, can embark on suicide missions to sink enemy targets. That's going to be formidable. All right, let's take a phone call here. Peter in Los Angeles, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, I just wanted to call up and I know you've talked about this many times before, but a couple of weeks ago there was an article that you ran and you talked about on there about how long it would take for the United States to ramp up to a major mobilization and how it wasn't where some general had commented that we're not ready and blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
And the point I want to make is a lot of people don't realize this, but in 1939, when war broke out, we had an army the size of Albania's. No draft, we're using World War One surplus, used up, beat up equipment. 1940, with the fall of France, which took everybody by surprise, there was a massive mobilization at that point. The first peacetime draft took place. And when the United States finally did go to war in 1941, almost 2 years later, we had over 1 million men in the army already mobilized. We had the industrial war college that had been cranking up plans because we were so unprepared in World War One. They didn't want it to happen this time. And it took us, even then, in a complete, you know, with really good planning and all that, that the peak U.S. war production took place in the fall of 1943.
Yes.
By the way, Germany, which was bombed day and night, their peak war production, it actually increased through September, October of 44, and then fell off. But at any rate, when looking at taking on the Russians, let's start with just with Iran. Iran had several million people mobilized in the 80s. They were almost like the Japanese in that they never gave up. They human wave attacks. The Iraqis using our gas were gassing them by the tens of thousands, and they still came on. If we are going to go against, I can tell you, people don't realize, think of the Civil War. The Iran is as big as the United States east of the Mississippi River. It's got 75 or 80 million dedicated people who would fight to the death. We could not take them on the ground, Mike. We would have to take that little peninsula that is the Straits of Hormuz, right? We'd have to take that.
Yep.
To secure the oil and all that. And, Mike, if you look at that and the density, and it would take at least a corps, three or four U.S. divisions minimum, and we'd be lucky to hang on to it with that. Well, we don't have three or four divisions. There's only 400,000 people in the active army. There's no draft in place. It would take us a year, really, to get reinforcements over there of any size. So even to secure the southern parts of the Straits of Hormuz, we could devastate Iran through air, but we could never secure it. We could never invade it. We could never really march on Tehran. And Russia, forget it. They've got better tanks, too. You left out that. They've got this Armada.
Yes.
Tank, which is excellent. Even their rifles are better.
Yep.
And they're some tough guys. They took on 80% of all the casualties inflicted on the Germans in World War II were inflicted by the Russians. The British and Americans together only took 20% of them. Leningrad lost more people than Britain and France, Britain and the United States put together. Just Leningrad. So we just can't do it, Mike. You've talked about the finances, you've talked about the technology, and the morale. We don't have any of that stuff.
No, we really don't here. But and the major problem when you talk about mobilizing for war, it's not just the manpower issue. It's that wartime material production. Now, going into World War II, the U.S. was a manufacturing powerhouse. We had factories all over the place making cars and trucks and washing machines and so forth. And they could be retooled very quickly to start putting out artillery shells, warplanes, tanks, armored vehicles and so forth. We don't have that right now. Factories are rather rare in the United States. And so we would have to start building these wartime factories pretty much from scratch. But right now, as I read it, looking at the way that we're conducting these wars that we're already mired in, the U.S. government has forgotten the lesson of Vietnam. They think they can win these wars from the air. And Vietnam, of course, proved that that's not true.
Well, obviously, couldn't do it in Iraq either, Syria, which we're trying
yes.
to do. But Mike, in 19, between 39 and 40, American companies started to take major orders from France and Britain, and they began tooling up already. The draft was instituted a year later. We were in the Depression, and there was slack in all the manufacturing plants that we did have that could be, you know, they could expand into. And then
yes.
they had huge credits where industries popped up out of nowhere because the government was building machine tool after machine tool, getting ready for the war, which Roosevelt, as you know, was trying to get us into in the worst way. So it's a completely different, you know, situation, and you have aptly hit it. We can't take on a peer like that anymore. All we can
trade
nukes or trade cruise missiles, but we can't go head to head with anybody anymore that's a peer.
It's that trading nukes that I'm really worried about. And again, Paul Craig Roberts, I think this was about 3 months ago, wrote in one of his articles that there was actually serious talk inside the Beltway of just hauling on off and nuking Moscow and getting it over with. That's very, very dangerous thinking. And they may be thinking about Iran the same thing. Just, you know, bomb the heck out of Tehran, a decapitation strike, and not have to, you know, fight for the dirt.
Mike, even in the conventional war with Iran, where we're not invading it, but just securing that eastern shoulder of the Straits of Hormuz, like I said, would take
yeah.
three or four divisions, which is more than we have in Afghanistan or anywhere right now, anywhere. The Iranians could mass several million people against that. There's no
yes.
way we could hold them off without nukes. We'd have to nuke them to keep them from pushing us, like the Pusan perimeter, only pushing us right into the sea. We just couldn't do it. We couldn't even hang on to that. So it's insane, really. And any military planner, and I went to the Command and General Scout Staff College. We looked at all this stuff. We looked at taking Majnun Island and some of those pumping islands off the northern coast in the Persian Gulf. That would be no small trick. You know, those are bigger than Okinawa.
Yes.
It's just nuts. It really, we just don't have it anymore. We have, let's get it through your heads, guys. We have 450,000 people in the active U.S. Army. And in World War II, we had 8 million and 16 million under arms. And we had a manufacturing plant to support that and more. Now we don't have any of that.
And you have to consider the 400,000 people in the Army. The Army has had to lower their requirements to be able to get people to enlist. They're not being selective. They're letting in people who are overweight, out of shape, even with criminal records. And if you look at all the
high school graduates, gang members, yeah.
And if you look at all those incidents with the Navy ramming their ships into cargo shipping out here in the Pacific, it's very obvious that they're skimping on the training of the officers and the sailors and airmen. And that's very dangerous to be cutting corners there. Because
and,
as
and
you saw
guys,
with
Mike,
the,
we're these we're academy graduates, most of them. You know, those destroyer commanders are like, they were Naval Academy graduate, career guys, and they can't handle
yep.
ships. It's sad. It really is sad. But if we're going to do this, it would take us years. We'd have to start a crash program right now of building machine tools, nothing but machine tools and strategic plants. And I think I told you a couple of years ago, we couldn't even produce enough small arms 5.56 ammunition for the M16 and the SAW to supply a low-intensity war in Iran, in Iraq and Afghanistan, we had to buy millions of rounds from Taiwan, from Brazil, from Israel, because we've restricted part of the gun control thing, even the manufacture of ammunition in the United States.
That was a big mistake. Plus, after 17 years of war, all of the stockpiles are drawn down. Those warehouses are all but empty now. Anyway, listen, Peter, I got to let you go. We got to do a commercial break here. We got another caller waiting on the line, and we will be right back.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And the phone lines are loading up. So let's go to Nathan in Northern California. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Oh, hi, Mike. Thanks for taking the call. Just a quick comment on Iran, and maybe you can bail me out since you're the star of the show here. I wrote this down almost word for word as to what Fox says said about Iran like last night. And the quote was, as we all know, Iran is the world's largest supporter of terrorism. Its hands or proxies are playing key roles in many of the world's trouble spots, including support of Syrian dictator Assad. Now, can you get me out from underneath the bed on that one? We got just 3 or 4 more to go. They support this evil dictator Assad.
Well, you know, obviously Iran is in fact supporting Assad. They're in Syria helping to get rid of the terrorists. But again, we're seeing a classic case of projection. Anybody the U.S. wants to go after, they're instantly a tyrant, a dictator, a terrorist.
Well, he was duly elected, and he has had about 80% of the support of the people over the last 6 years. He's not a dictator. He won the election fair and square, as I understand it. Are we in the ballpark
on that? That's pretty much it. But truth is the first casualty of war. And we've had 17 years of war and 17 years of nonstop lies to sell those wars to what remains of the gullible portion of the American people. Everyone the U.S. wants to go after, the media immediately demonizes to make them unsympathetic.
Yeah, well, they're saying it's playing a role in Iraq. Well, what are they doing in Iraq that's so bad? You know, the world's greatest sponsor of terrorism. And, you know, I got to crawl under the bed and hide because these people are so evil. What in the world have we heard about them doing in Iraq that is so awful? I haven't heard anything.
Neither have I. As far as I know, I mean, they're basically sort of minding their own business. I mean, they've sort of let the Iran-Iraq war kind of fade off into history. But if you look at how much support the U.S. gave for the terrorist groups in Syria, I would say, once again, it's a case of projection the U.S. government is out there basically accusing all these potential target countries of the very crimes the United States itself has been committing.
I agree. And then they go on to say Hezbollah in Lebanon. Now, what's so bad about Hezbollah? I know very little about this group, but I do know that they were on the eastern border of Lebanon and they went into Syria to stop these paid mercenaries from coming into Lebanon and causing problems. So they've been fighting.
Yeah, Hezbollah is a group
to protect
that defends
border.
Lebanon.
Right, and all I know about Hezbollah in southern Lebanon is I saw this guy go up this dirt road one time, and they're not going to really tell you much about what's going on, but there's a lot of tunnels and storage facilities where they have things going on to prevent Israel from invading that they don't want anybody to know about.
Nathan,
so what's wrong?
Nathan, I've got to put you on hold. We got to take a break for station identification. And don't hang up. We'll come right back to you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.